I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go.
720 WGN. It's Steve Cochran Show, 6 to 10 every morning, Monday through Friday. Excited to be here. Steve's out today. Justin Kaufman with you. Annie Mazur's in for Dave Ennett. Mary Sandberg's here. Mary Vandeveld's here. Steve Grzanich is here. Super Joe and Pete. So we got a good squad. I mean, Andy,
yeah, that's a good squad.
It's questionable on Andy.
No, I don't. I was the fly in the ointment, so to speak. It's all
well,
good.
I like that you're here because we can talk White Sox all morning long.
Okay. So we're going to take calls and everything.
I'm going to stop that from happening all morning.
So
yesterday in our office, somebody said the word Calcavetia or
Carcavice.
Carcavice.
Oh,
and Justin
Carcavice,
was
yeah.
going crazy.
Oh, man. One of the best non-looking baseball players of all time. Right,
yep.
Like the, I mean,
what does he look like?
He looked like he was already retired when he was playing.
Yeah, he looked old.
He's got like a goofy mustache for a while, and he had the batting helmet that kind of didn't look cool in the '80s. He had like the one that didn't have the flaps. Yeah, like the
didn't
third
have
base
the
coach
flaps,
wears.
Yeah. No ear flaps.
Right. And his name is Carcavice, Mary. That's an awesome 80s baseball name.
So he was, yes. I was in high school when he was playing, and we had the high school radio station, and a buddy of mine was doing a sports update and kept calling him Ron Carcovice.
that's awesome.
It's Ron Carcovice.
I like Carcovice.
Well, Justin, he goes crazy every time he hears 80s Sox players' names.
Any 80s
like
baseball
Wayne Nordhagen.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's a great name.
Naha Rodney. We can go all day.
I feel bad for the listeners this morning because it's going to be Andy throwing out 80s baseball players' names and me laughing. That's going to be this morning.
Mike
Squires. Stop it. Mary, you got to kick. So
all
we
right.
had our holiday
Yesterday
party,
we had
yeah.
our holiday lunch, yes.
Totally ignoring you guys.
And there's a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com. I'm going to link it on our socials of our great lunch. It was really fun.
I am still full.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
You had a giant club sandwich, but you did not eat the whole thing, Mary.
I couldn't. I could only eat half. My son is eating the rest at work today.
Oh, yeah, I had a salad. Happy. I could not eat it all. Most of the guys that had burgers did not eat them all. However, yeah.
Even Joe. Yeah,
I know. Even
Joe couldn't handle it.
However, Steve Cochran had a burger. He almost finished his burger. Justin Kaufman.
All right.
Orders.
Before we start this story, I'm a terrible food orderer. I've never been good at it. I go to a Baker's Square. And everyone gets pie, and I'm like, how's the dolphin safe tuna? Is that good? Like, it's just not, I'm not good at it. I always go for the exotic. I made a bad choice yesterday.
Why? Were you sick?
He ordered a gigantic bowl of macaroni and cheese with buffalo chicken.
Oh my gosh.
Four giant buffalo chicken
huge.
Fried breasts.
It's in the gallery. You'll see it. It was huge. I ate
huge.
Half of it, and I was like,
it had to weigh 10 pounds.
This might be the end.
And he ate, that's what he...
You don't eat that for lunch.
No, you eat like three bites.
Right.
And you were eating, or you get that to share with everybody, like not as your entree. The amount of cheese on the top of it,
much.
It was swimming in cheese.
It was swimming, and I thought it was going to be, that's a problem, I can never visualize what it's going to look like, or maybe how it tastes like. So I thought it was going to be bits of chicken in the mac and cheese and be nice and dainty.
That's what I thought.
They and it was good. It was delicious, but they loaded that on there, and I was sweating while I was eating.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Mary and Stephanie decided to go, you know, with the salads. Well, they bring out the salads. The bowl is the big salad, and then both of them order fries on the side.
Yeah, I think French fries are the perfect side dish.
I'm like, wait a minute. The fries, the bowl was huge.
Yeah, the basket of fries was, and that the problem with that is you have no idea how many you're eating. But Stephanie ordered those sweet potato fries, which I don't even count as French fries.
Yeah. What?
No, they're like soggy.
I got a chance to go to Kohl's right afterwards.
Right after eating the Gutbuster mac and cheese buffalo chicken.
There were a couple people, the attendants at Kohl's, are like, are you okay, sir? Because I was like, I was over in the jeans section.
Why'd you need a bigger belt?
He was sweating cheese.
Seriously, I had my hands down on the counter where the jeans were going, trying to catch my breath from the buffalo chicken mac and cheese I had for lunch.
Oh,
I talked to Steve Cochran yesterday around 5, and I said, I bet Justin does not feel good
right
now.
Because
not only was the dish rich, that you ate so much of it.
No, I didn't eat that much. I felt like
you were digging in.
I ate 2/3 of it.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, but you get peer pressure. I don't want to be sitting there, you know, right. eating a quarter of it.
Yeah, we're all very silent about it. We all didn't finish our meals, but Mr. Pete Zimmerman, that for
yeah,
a little person, that man
yeah.
can consume food quickly yeah. and quietly.
Well, I think he got the veggie burger, but it's a big one, and I think this is why he doesn't go out to meals, because he doesn't have self control. He will say that this is why he just brings his little nuts and cheese. In the yeah. little containers.
He has because, no self-control.
Yeah.
So quickly just, and quietly. That's a great mantra.
Yes.
That's a mantra.
But he is here today.
Yeah.
He
I did notice he moved the French fries because they were in one of the little silver cups. He moved it off his plate and turned it away from him because I think he was going to try not to eat them. But then he ended up eating the French yeah. fries. I saw it. But he ate them like he was guilty. like he was shamed. Yeah. He probably did 2 Orange Theory classes after just to like Aww. Double up on his.
Pete's running in.
No, I went running yesterday. I had to.
I know.
I was like, that's it. I got to get outside.
It took all my self control not to grab the cup of fries and like put it in my mouth like I was drinking.
If I was by myself,
I would have done it. But in company, I had a.
That's funny. I was going to do the same with the mac and cheese. Like everyone's watching, I'm just going to slide that right into my mouth.
And of course, Pete had the incident that since I've known Pete for so long, 17 years or whatever, this happens at any restaurant when he says, "Can I have a Diet Coke?" And they say, "It's Diet Pepsi. Is that okay?" No.
No, nobody said what he said.
Inferior beverage.
You were nicer. What you said to the server was, "What are your other diet options?"
And the server was like, "What are you talking about? Only Diet Pepsi."
He goes, "That's it. Yeah, that's all we got." Oh, okay.
So he went iced tea.
Yeah, there was a long pause.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed when they said they didn't have Diet Sierra Mist.
Yeah, right. That's what you were into, right? All right. Well, we had a great.
Those pictures are up.
Great.
They're up at WGNradio.com. If you want to see a real loud and heavy dish of mac and cheese with buffalo chicken, it's right there for you to consume.
Did you show your wife that you ate that?
Yeah, and last night I made them. I forgot that we were having pasta last night.
Oh, shut up.
So there was more pasta. I came home. I was like, I'm gonna die. This is it. So anyway, big show today. We're gonna get to it. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll get the top 6 at 6.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
All right, time for the top 6 at 6 here on the Steve Cochran Show. Number one, President Trump met with Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the Oval Office yesterday to talk border security. The press was allowed in. And lawmakers argued over the wall for about 10 minutes. If you read all of the articles, regardless of the political side affiliation of these articles, you would have assumed there was a blowout fist fight, clash, argument, shouting match. I saw that last night, right before I went to bed. I was blown away. I was like, what happened? I watched all 10 minutes, kept going, here it comes. Is this it? Is this it? It was just a somewhat pleasant argument.
Supposedly, the president threw a folder of papers as he left.
I didn't see that. Wasn't in
yeah.
The
that's I didn't see that in the footage. I just read a tweet that had that. Also, Mike Pence was being compared to Weekend at Bernie's because he just
he didn't say a word
and didn't move. Like he didn't. Even
I know. Do you see? He didn't even get referenced in the number one. He wasn't even in the room.
The memes of that though, and then people were making him the elf on the shelf on the back. Like they removed him up. People are so clever.
It was. I get what the president was doing. It's a great place to be transparent, and I don't mind transparency in any form when it comes to government. But I do also believe it was staged and stunt a big stunt to show how tough he was going to be. I just feel all three of those guys could do better for the country behind closed doors. That's the way I'll put that, so we'll leave it there.
That's a reasonable statement.
All right, the mayor of Chicago is expected to call for the legalization of marijuana, a Chicago casino, and a constitutional amendment to fix pensions. The trifecta, all at city council today. He's trying to coerce the state government to pass these things in the upcoming legislature. I think about this. I think it's all of those things are controversial subjects, and I believe that they probably will have a hard time getting through any sort of, even Democrat-controlled House or Senate.
But it is interesting that the outgoing mayor is taking on some political hot points, some controversial stuff before he leaves. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Is it just going on record? Because he has no weight in
It's just going on record.
Yeah.
And most of the time, when politicians are running for re-election, they don't go on record like this. You're not going to hear the mayor putting a push on right before the election saying he wants a Chicago casino. That's not something that's usually politically expedient. And I understand why, because there's a lot of critics and people who will say that a Chicago casino, let's just stay on that part for now, it's a money-making, it's a revenue source for the state, and there's a reason why, because they take money from Chicagoans. And a lot of times, you know, you'll have this picture in your head, like Vegas, where you're like, it's so fun, everyone's having fun, it's like vacation, downtown Chicago, we're having so much fun, this convention's so fun. but the reality is that a lot of poor people get addicted to gambling, mm-hmm. and they spend all of their little nut that they have trying to win at blackjack. And that's the money that the city is turning around and using as a revenue source. And I'm not sure that's the right thing to do.
He also said that he wants 30 cents more on our per gallon for gas yesterday. So he's
saying all the things that no politician will say because they know that they will be not reelected. That's an interesting story, too, because that really at the beginning of is the kernel that started the riots in France. Is when the Macron came forward and said he wanted to put an energy tax or a gas tax, a diesel tax. That's when the people rose up.
Yeah.
And they did it. Now it's really a bigger story about inequality and the haves and have-nots in France. But that's what it started on. So it's interesting to see him go out on a limb like this and say, you know, he's saying it's for transportation infrastructure, not mm-hmm. for saving the environment. That's what Macron is going for. But interesting. Yeah. The things you can do as a politician when you're not running for re-election. Number three, the Bears kicker got a police escort to go practice at Soldier Field. Did you see this? Now, the Tribune, interesting article. Is it normal? Yeah, I guess it is. Every time Cody Parkey has to go to Soldier Field to practice kicking field goals, he gets a police escort from Hallis all the way down to Soldier Field.
I thought he was going to get a police escort out of Soldier Field the other day after he missed the field goal.
Yeah, right? And he missed the field goal.
He did not hit the upright this time.
But how do we feel about that? Because a police escort, I would assume, snarls traffic. Are we talking about a police escort down to Kennedy? That would be, okay, everybody pull over because here come the cops. For a kicker to practice.
Well, I think it tells you how important the Bears are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe that's a problem.
I'm not surprised, and I'm sure a lot of Bears get police escorts that we just don't know about. So.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a bigger issue.
Wait, your Bears are 10-4. They please you, right? 10-4?
9-4.
9-4.
They're about to be 10-4.
The Sunday night you were happy as could be.
I know.
You're going to say, get more police escorts Parkey.
I wonder, because that's the question of how often this happens. And, you know, I don't know. It's for practice.
Yeah, but see, he didn't go down there right away. At the beginning of the year, he was not kicking down
right.
there. Every other Bears kicker has gone down to the, especially before a home game, test the winds.
I got an idea. Police escort him to the Cumberland stop. Get him at the Kiss and Ride.
There you go.
Put him on the blue line. Take it all the way downtown. He can walk from Dearborn.
What time did he get this escort?
I don't know what the times were, but it had to have...
During rush hour?
Yeah, or even any... I mean, let's be honest. The Kennedy is rush hour all the time.
Right, exactly. That's what I was wondering.
So, yeah, not very popular. I understand the Bears are these are the spoils. Mm-hmm. When you have a good season, you can do these kind of things, but still, I don't know about a police
escort. This practice better help, because if he misses again, he's walking.
Yeah. Delta changing boarding procedures. You see the story? No longer, coming up in January, no longer will they have groups for boarding. Instead, it's going to be done by a complex system of ticket numbers and colors. This is to avoid people doing the hoarding at the gate waiting for their number to be called. You know how they kind of just huge crowds amass by a gate? So they're trying to remove that by doing it by a color-coded system. Which I commend them for doing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in airport history.
It doesn't make any sense. And they do you have assigned seating on that airline?
Yeah.
When you have the boarding, I know it has to do with the overhead space or whatever, but I think they should just board back to front.
Yeah,
that's how they used to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. Let's keep going. We're going to run out of time. Oscars, considering not having a host, we'll probably talk with Dean Richards about that coming up.
That's like a driverless car. I'm just saying, Steve Grzanich, I feel like, would be all over the hostless Oscars. He's big on the driverless car.
Let's talk about the Oscars and who should host or the idea of a no-hosted coming up in the show here. And the last one here, the Dracula ant. Are you familiar with the Dracula ant?
No.
Nobody is?
No.
And it has set a record for the fastest animal on the planet, 200 miles per hour. It's shy, elusive, and it loves sucking the blood from its own larva. That's what I found out about. It's in New Zealand, like in Australia area. It's about the size of your fingertip, and it runs 200 miles per hour.
It's even faster when it doesn't wear its cape.
Exactly. So, nightmares. That's the top six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Here we are going into week six of the NFL season. Have we started our fantasy football situation yet?
No.
Remember last week I made Pete vice president of fantasy football?
I order you to be quiet.
Order anything he is.
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
I've done a lot of thinking about it. I really have.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that.
So what I'm thinking is that each person on the staff here picks one player.
Yes, I love it. Love it.
One player.
Love it.
On what team?
You don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
How fun. Fantasy football midway through the season. That's what we've done here on the Steve Cochran Show. We've been playing. You've been paying attention. Pete Zimmerman, our commissioner, is in studio right now. Quickly, just the quick rules of this game, which we have fun each week, is that you can pick one player, and that player's stats will be your points, and then that player is done for the season.
Off the board.
So the idea is, as we get later into the year, as we are now, it becomes much more challenging to find a player. You have to really start scouring the waiver wires, the bottoms of the roster.
You have to do your research, for sure.
Which none of us do, so that makes it really nice.
This list has incorrect. At least 200 names on it, by the way.
Yeah, Dave Bennett does his research on this.
Well, Dave's not here.
It matters very much to
Dave. Okay, so Dave, Steve, and Steve's mom are not here today, so do they just get zeros?
Yes.
No, since, as Mary pointed out, Dave...
He already put his
picks in. He's put his picks in.
Yeah, we reached out.
That's ridiculous.
Because otherwise there would have been a mutiny...
Yeah, he would have been
mad. We hadn't given him
a missed the holiday party and he misses his fantasy football pick.
You can check out pictures of that holiday party at WGNradio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook and Twitter.
And all the food.
All right. So how did we do why don't we start with, we know Dave's in first. He's been in first all year.
He has been and is going to remain in first place. He had another strong week picking Lamar Jackson first place overall. But the big story, again, is the surging Steve Grzanich.
Yeah, Travis Kelce. Oh. Mm.
His pick last time was casual.
Yeah.
Like, you picked somebody that was already chosen, and you just threw out a name.
Right. I had to skip a pick because you guys caught me off guard.
We caught you off guard.
So I think I chose third last week, and I have to admit I had a little help from Joe last week. So
okay. I already I put this whole game in protest. Because Grzanich had his pick, and he couldn't think of a guy, so he said, pass. You don't get to pass in the NFL. You miss your pick. And so then you all helped him out, and then at the end he's like, I'll take, I don't know, Travis Kelce, because Super Joe's in his ear. And then Kelce goes off and puts 30 points on the board.
Are you talking smack?
I am talking smack. I think Grzanich should have got a zero.
I think that Justin maybe should get fined by the commissioner for being a...
You're out of order. Yeah. You're out of order.
Insubordination.
You gave a zero to Mary Vandeville for picking a player on the bye.
I did.
Yeah.
And then you don't turn around and Grzanich, you got a pass.
He was here, though, and eventually picked.
And I've been
here every
week.
It was only hurting him.
And I got a zero for helping Grzanich.
Right.
So
all right,
I think I
weeks?
Really got punished.
Joe Romano.
Because I was really the only one who had a shot at catching Dave. None of you guys really know how to pick players.
Wow.
I'm not sure if you can tell.
Yeah, Joe Romano unfortunately picked Odell Beckham.
Nothing.
Who was a late scratch.
Yeah. Zero.
So zero on the board for Joe.
Who 0.0.
Oh.
Which means, though, Justin,
yeah,
you're in striking distance of second place.
Yes.
You're only Leonard Fournette, which was a bad intel.
He did not do well.
Yeah.
I was in Justin's ear.
He was in my ear before, and I thought I was getting
the wrong guy in your
tip.
Ear. Yeah.
Nobody's picked Leonard Fournette. That's what I heard in the booth. I'm like, huh? And then I did, and he had a terrible game. I'm like, why am I listening to these guys?
So that really there has been no movement. Dave is still in first place. Joe second. Justin third. Steve Grzanich, Steve Cochran, Steve's mom, Mary Vandeveld, and Mary Boyle round out the rear. Okay. But as I said, Justin, you're a point away from second place. Steve Grzanich, surging Steve Grzanich, is only 10 away from Joe. So a lot of things can happen. Steve is only 20 points away. So there's a lot of lot at stake.
All right. So to build week. build some drama and to give Grzanich time to look at NFL.com. let's take our break here, and then we'll come back and we'll do this week's picks.
Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, Spike Odell's going to join us. How great is that? 10 years ago, the anniversary of him leaving WGN, retiring from WGN Radio.
I've seen pictures of him in the last, you know, few years, mm-hmm. and he's, because he gets sleep now, he actually looks younger than when he retired 10 years ago.
And, aging backwards.
Yeah, and he will be part of our Christmas lineup. We'll talk about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and we may get a special guest on the phone to talk with Spike, some intern kid. Corcoran? I don't know. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. All right, coming up, let's do fantasy picks here. This is big. I don't. What's the win? What's the win? What do we get if we win this whole thing? Is it just pride? Can we get something? Can I get a gift card for beating Ennett?
I'm trying to
think. I don't think
you'll,
Cochran
you used to have
Ennett.
This little trophy thing, yeah. but it ended up breaking. It was a piece of junk.
No, and, I want something to value.
Just something to dust.
Yeah, right. I don't think there is anything. Last year, bragging rights. I think Andrea Darlis and Dave Ennett are very competitive.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, really, we do all of this for them to be able to beat each other.
Right.
So I think that's really... The only thing was bragging rights.
Or a Hooters gift card. That
yeah,
was still,
but that went missing.
Yeah,
so.
We don't know where that is.
All right, let's play for Hooters.
Let's
missing
something.
The missing Hooters gift card.
Somebody
let's
spent it. I think
let's
it was Dave.
Some mittens or something.
I think Dave did.
I'll take some mittens.
Let's blame Dave.
All right.
All right, so Dave won and is picked first, and he picked
all the way from Florida.
Ryan Tannehill. He has one in Florida, state of
Miami
mind.
Miami Dolphins yeah. quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Is Steve Grzanich ready?
Yes.
He's a... Number two, go ahead, Steve.
Amari Cooper.
Oh, come on.
Dang it.
Well, this is what I'm talking
last,
about.
Don't
this,
is,
this gets me mad
so
all over
dumb.
Again. Because that's who I wanted to pick, and I would have been able to pick him if you would have given Grzanich a zero last week.
That's true, okay, but I did
well.
Not.
Well.
So, moving on. Steve Cochran picks
the way from Naperville.
Picks a kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn from the Texans.
Oh.
Okay.
I had the Texans D. They didn't really do anything for me.
In Steve's defense, he picked a kicker last week and came in third.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the kickers are doing decently.
Well, there aren't that many people to pick any longer. So.
Mary V.
Why do I get to go next? Really?
Yep, because you had 11 points, but everybody else was really lackluster last week.
Okay.
So.
Melvin Gordon of the Chargers.
Nice.
Why
Andy just gave you a dirty look.
He's iffy to play.
Oh,
how is he not?
That's all right.
Been picked?
Yeah, but,
he got picked already, and it
no,
was
he
a
didn't.
He did by you, mm-hmm. and it was a bye week, and so you got a zero.
She's
so
been hot on Melvin.
But what
Gordon.
I don't understand is how is he still available?
He's still well because
What's
he
wrong
didn't
with
play.
Him?
This league.
I've been telling Joe to pick Melvin Gordon for like four
okay,
weeks.
Okay, what's wrong with him, Andy?
He's got a knee injury.
He didn't play last week. Yeah.
Oh crud.
So it's risky, but.
But he could play this week.
But Mary, those are the kind of moves you got to make late in the season. Risky moves.
I don't care anymore. I'm picking him.
Justin Kaufman, go ahead.
I will take Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
All right.
Buffalo's horrible.
Steve's mom picks a Green Bay Packer, Mason Crosby.
Oh.
Kicker.
Okay. Against the Bears.
I think that was under Steve Cochran's advisement.
Mm-hmm. So under Steve's advisement, he goes with the kicker against the Bears.
Now, did he give his mom the better kicker, or did he take the better kicker for himself?
I'm not sure.
Crosby's famous this week, this year for missing like
missing
five in one
goals,
game.
Yeah.
But he picks, you know, you never want to pick against the Bears.
Yeah, I just feel like it's treasonous.
Yeah.
Well, he was helping us earlier the year because he was doing so bad. He was picking guys and jinxing them.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so
that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Mary Sandberg.
Ooh, I'm going with Chris Long.
Chris Long is a defensive lineman for the Eagles.
Yep. And continue my streak of defenses.
And,
did my defense get any points last week?
Yeah, they 7 points last week, so you have 25 points total. You're only about 200 behind Dave Ennett.
There we go.
You can come on strong. It's
so there's 3 weeks. Are we going to do playoffs?
No. No, fantasy so doesn't do playoffs.
You could do playoffs.
One more
usually
week.
You end before
that. No, yeah, that's like yeah, everybody else in real fantasy know, but, is but in this the playoffs is not,
but
right
you,
now.
But I do, you could do FanDuel and other things. They do playoffs. Yeah. But I'm saying if Please. You did, it could be fun, Commissioner, just hear me out for just 1 second, to do playoffs and keep the same rules. And so you have to pick the fourth and fifth receivers or the tight ends or whatever it is that haven't been picked yet, the teams that are available. It could be fun because then you get random, weird nobodies that you're hoping. And if they score a touchdown, it's an amazing feat.
Right, like if somebody picked the Bears offensive lineman last
year. Bradley Soule. Yeah, Bradley Soule, right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, if the, you know, let's say that the Bears...
That would be me.
The Bears win.
Because I pick defensive players.
Yeah.
The Bears win and they make the playoffs, it'd be fun because you can't pick Tariq Cohen, you can't pick Jordan Howard, you can't pick Trubisky.
I have a feeling the second the Bears do not win, keep going further in the playoffs, Justin's interest is going to fall off dramatically.
That's true. I'll be over at the United Center.
And finally, Joe Romano, who had a 0.00 last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Joe.
I think it was just 0.0. I don't think there was a second zero in there. I will take Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was on my list.
Love that guy's name.
All right. That's it, everybody. Good luck. Good night.
All right.
Sayonara.
All right. There's a lot of questions in week 9 or 10 on this league, but whatever.
Well,
it's pizza commissioner.
I've written down all your requests.
I say we keep going. We started late on the season, so we should go to the Super Bowl. that's what I think, right? Nobody agrees with me. Andy Mazur does.
Do you get points for the halftime performance?
There you go. So you can pick Maroon 5.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's all sorts of prop bets you could do for games.
Good
later.
Point.
You know, it's coin toss and what have you. Coin toss. We can figure
it out. Let's figure
it out. I'll take it under advisement.
All right.
I do keep seeing that Bet Chicago billboard on the Edens when I come in, so gambling seems to be a thing now where we can all do it.
Yeah, there you go. Gambling. Let's all do it. That's the new headline. All right. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Guzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Get your groove on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show here. Steve's out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Justin Kaufman here. Mary's here. Two Marys. If you ever get a chance, Fridays we do Between Two Marys on Facebook Live. It's our sort of complimentary programming where I sit between the two Marys.
That's right.
And you love it.
I do love it. It's fun. It's a lot of things that we can't fit in on the program. The program is tightly wound because it is. It's the best morning show in the land, and there's a lot to get to, and sometimes we can't get to everything that's on our minds, so we talk a little bit about that. That's usually on Fridays. I don't know when we're going to do the next one.
I don't know. Friday will be the holiday. Yeah. I guess if we all have a break from the play, we could squeeze one in.
And the play, the It's a Wonderful Life redo, Bill Leff's play. Does he have a different name for it?
No, I think this
one is. It's just called It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, there's a sheet.
It's a Wonderful Leff.
It's a Wonderful Life holiday radio play. Okay. Celebrate the most wonderful time of the year with WGN Radio. Tune in this Friday from 10 a.m. to noon for our presentation of It's a Wonderful Life, based on the beloved classic holiday movie, though I believe Bill Leff has put his spin on it.
Okay.
So there might be a lot of little action figure toys.
He's a tremendous writer. He's very funny.
It's sponsored by American Sale and by Shepherd's College.
I think he's got Steve in one of the major roles.
Well, of course, and he has the other.
Yes, exactly. But Steve's made it very clear he's not here today. So he's not going. Today's the table read.
Yeah.
And that's always an important part, and Steve's just not here for it.
Yeah, but he's a professional, so he doesn't need the practice.
He really is.
The table read is for the timing of all the schlubs.
Right.
You know, Steve can step in.
And I am so far down on the schlub list that I didn't even get invited to the table read.
I'm further down than you.
Yeah. I was like, well, you don't really need to be there.
Yeah, I think my casting thing is I'm a difficult shareholder, which sounds like perfect casting.
We got the list yesterday, didn't we?
I can be difficult. So
difficult shareholder.
Yeah, I thought that's
number
perfect.
One or number two.
It says male or female, so I'm going to play the role of a female difficult shareholder. Also, yesterday we had our holiday lunch, Justin.
Yes,
you can see that photo gallery at WGNRadio.com, and you can see the picture of your macaroni and cheese with four giant buffalo chicken breasts on top of it.
It's an amazing dish. Buffalo chicken mac and cheese at Tavern on the Park.
And someone from the 619 was inquiring if you stayed to your rules of $10 for lunch. But I did ask that at the table at the lunch if Justin was going to follow that. And Justin's hand went up. He goes, hey, I'm not paying.
That's true.
All rules go out the window when I'm not paying.
For some reason, you know, they always say they always reference the present in this way. Like when, like something happens in your life and you're stuck in this arrested development at a certain age. I think for me, it's 20 years old, 22, somewhere in there where I'm sitting in my one-bedroom apartment in Chicago, and when free meals come around,
eating ramen noodles.
You eat as much as you can, as fast as you can, because you don't know where the next meal's coming from. And I don't know what it is, but when free food is brought, you know, I have a job,
free.
I have a salary.
It's free to you.
It's free to me. Yeah, but I'm saying when free food is around, portion control, money, all that's out the window. I just shut, like I'm a horse at a trough, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah, and you pay for it later.
And I pay for it later.
We all should have split our meals.
I know.
We would have been better off.
Speaking of portion controls, a listener from 219 noticed that I had the smallest.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah, where was your bun?
Well, I'm trying to portion
bunless?
Control, and this person says the struggle is real, and by gosh, it is even when somebody else is paying for it. So thanks for noticing.
Well, see, you have control. I don't have
control.
It took
forever. With all the willpower I had.
And though, then we didn't even, I don't even have them photographed because I was so full, but the desserts came.
Right.
Yeah, that killed us.
And that was
that.
So Steve wasn't going to order dessert, no. Steve Cochran. And then the server, and he was getting talked into it. And then Steve said, well, what do you recommend? And then the server said, Steve's kryptonite. He said, we have the best peanut butter pie. And Steve's like, bring it out. And then with peanut butter pie came bread pudding, a brownie. Like
apple pie.
Yeah, it wasn't just one piece of peanut butter pie. So
yeah.
it was everybody. Then you really, if you already weren't feeling good.
That restaurant's great. Tavern in the Park. That's awesome. I will say, am I the only one that feels, Andy? I mean, nothing kicks in when a meal is offered to you complimentary. Do you feel like you have to eat it as big and as fast as possible?
Yeah, maybe back in the day, but now it's like...
Because you're a grown-up now, Andy.
Well, sort of a grown-up, yeah. In mine maybe not, but actual age, yes. You order the bigger one, so you could take everything home.
Well, that's what I was surprised. I thought Justin was going to eat half.
I couldn't do it. I did.
Could have lunch for today and tomorrow.
You ate from the top. No, you didn't eat like sideways.
Sandberg, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's for the emphasis of this program or for entertainment purposes, but you're making stuff up. I ate just over half of that thing.
How much of that chicken did you eat of the four pieces?
Two and a half. Three.
Three.
Three
that's
of the four.
A lot. You could have easily made that meals at home.
I could have eaten it at home. I was going to bring it home, but I was like, I can't look at this anymore. Like, I was at this point.
Because you had eaten so much.
I was eating so much. My stomach was distended at that point.
And I was sitting next to our boss, Stephanie, and she is one of those difficult orderers. She ordered a chopped salad, but know this, extra onion, like a very complicated, I thought, oh my God, she's still going, you know, giving him the list of things that she can and cannot have.
And the guy was so happy with me. He's like, I just said, I'll have a club sandwich.
Right, you were so easy.
He's like, is that it?
There's a great picture of the club sandwich as well.
Oh, I know. You took one of Mary holding it up as almost like a smiley face.
It looked like a shish kebab.
Yeah, it's like... Little Mary, she talks about, you know, she's a small person in this giant club in front of her face.
I almost got TMJ while eating it. Like Steve.
Can I ask you a question about the server?
Yeah.
Was he writing that stuff down?
There were two servers. They worked both ends of the table. I do believe they were
Super
writing
Joe
it down.
Super Joe said they were writing it down.
Yeah, because, you know, some of the restaurants you go to,
they don't write it down.
They try to impress you by remembering everything, and it always comes out wrong.
Think it's coming
out? Quit impressing me.
Yeah, but I wonder if
you're
that's
projecting.
All.
Write it down.
I wonder if that's projection. I wonder if they wrote it down and it came out a little bit wrong, you'd be fine with it. Because they did that little mind trick, you're like, nope, see?
It's wrong. See?
Or Andy might do that thing where he, what do you call it, when he orders what he didn't want, and then it comes out and he's dissatisfied, so he blames the server and everything else.
Yeah, usually I blame whoever I'm with.
Yeah, order envy.
Exactly.
My husband always eats. He watches what he eats, and he watches carbs and things like that. So he gets whitefish everywhere. Oh. Always wants whitefish, and then I might get fried chicken, and then he's got this envy of looking at my plate.
Yeah.
He's like, mine wasn't that big. Well, yours whitefish is never going to be that big.
Like I said,
fried chicken is always 50
big,
pieces on the
I'm
plate.
I'm a terrible food orderer, and that is a big part of it. When it comes out, I'm like, oh, and I look at the person to the left. I'm like, oh, I wanted that. So I understand where Pat's coming from. All right, let's do this. The most valuable person on the planet coming up next. And after that, Spike Odell joins us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Very exciting morning here on WGN.
WGN, Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out. Back tomorrow. It's okay. We got it under control. Keeping the trains running on time. Andy Mazur in for Dave Ennett.
It's that time of year where people have a lot of time off.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's going to be, you hear it every day here on the all stations, really.
It's when the roster comes in handy. You know, you get a roster emailed to you.
Mm-hmm. It's also when planning comes in handy, which I won't get into with some of the staff members, maybe even in this room, who can't make decisions about what days are going to be off.
Hmm.
You're on a roll today.
There's three of us in the studio. It's not you. Right. It's not me.
We're the wrong food. Don't take off the dates.
Is it Mr. Mac and Cheese?
It's time for the most valuable person on the planet for December 12, 2018. This is a great story coming out of St. Louis at Mercy Children's Hospital. Some nurses and staff get together and they pool their money to enter into the lottery. We do that. Everybody does that, right? They've been doing it for years in varying degrees of success. Last month, the staffers at the hospital won big, $10,000 in the Mega Millions lottery. So time to divvy up the winnings, correct? Not so fast. Kim Fitch is on the line. She's one of the nurses at Mercy Children's Hospital in St. Louis. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Congratulations on the lottery winnings.
Thank you.
So this is something you guys have been doing for years. Is this just something that's secondhand for you guys, that you're just, every time there's a lotto, you go in?
When it gets fairly large and, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, where nobody's winning, we just say, hey, let's go in on it. And one girl in our unit specifically kind of gathers all the money and gets all the tickets and kind of runs it. And
that's great.
Things happen this time.
Okay, so you won $10,000. So then the natural response is that you're going to divvy it up among the players that all came together. But you guys did something different with the money.
Wait, before you even say what you did, you guys won $10,000. Did she tell you? Were you all looking at the numbers at the same time? Like, how did it unfold?
So when she purchases the tickets before the drawing, we have a Facebook page that's for our NICU specific. She takes a picture of them and posts them on our page so that all of us can see the tickets prior to the drawing. So she put them on, and whenever you get a chance, we took a look, you know, to see if we had won. And one of the other girls had looked before us and kind of said, did we really just lose the $1.6 by one number? And then we, of course, all start looking.
I'm getting tingly just thinking about seeing the numbers.
So, one number. One of the first five numbers. We even had the Mega Million number.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So, Kim, so there you are. You know, you get the $10,000. You're going to divvy it up, but you don't divvy it up. What do you do with it?
Well, we decided when we found out that we won, I had contacted the girl that kind of ran it and was like, when we talked about, you know, the amount, once it's divided between 126 of us, it kind of took it to, we were thinking maybe 60 something dollars. And I think eventually it came to like $56. And we were like, $56 isn't going to make or break any of us. How about we donate? There was a lot of people saying, hey, let's donate to this and that. And then one of our girls mentioned, hey, how about to our doctor? We have a doctor in our unit, one of our neonatologists, whose husband is going through cancer. So someone said, let's donate to her family. He's trying to get treatment. And then, unfortunately, the night of the drawing, we had one of our nurses' sons actually committed suicide. So we also wanted to donate to her. So kind of finally, you know, we help other people all the time, and it was nice to be able to help one of our own.
Wow.
So that's what we did.
That's a very selfless act. How did they respond to knowing that you guys won and what you were going to do with the winnings?
Well, they seemed to be, you know, they were pretty shocked, and I think, of course, just touched that, you know, while I think also not surprised. That's what we do. We take care of, you know, others, but, you know, when we have the opportunity to help our own, you know, that's what we do. I think it was shock with, you know, I'm just not surprised. This is just kind of how we work as a unit. We're just, you know, a family unit at work also.
It's a tremendous story and, you know, obviously selfless, especially in the, you know, when you get a chance to win the lotto, you're playing the lotto to try and win millions. You actually get a win and you all make the decision to do that. That's pretty special. And, you know, I mean, you guys continue now? Do you continue playing the lotto? You struck once?
We just put in for the money. There's one going on tonight. So we're going to see what happens with that.
Well, you and the rest of the nurses and staff at Mercy Children's Hospital in St. Louis are our most valuable people on the planet for Wednesday, December 12th. Kim, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
There you go. What a story, huh?
We, you know, we played the lotto a couple weeks ago when the pool was really big, and not once did we mention if we win this, we're going to give it to anybody.
Yeah, right.
We were all talking about if we were going to still work or not.
I would think that's every office. I don't think people are thinking about donating the winnings, but selfless act. Yeah. And she's right. Once you have a big group like that and you break down the numbers after taxes and it's only $50, it may make your decision much easier. But to donate to people at the own hospital who are going through tough times, that's a tremendous selfless act and gets you the most valuable person on the planet. So there you go. All right, coming up, Spike Odell is going to join us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Very excited for that. That's coming up here on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's been a hard day tonight, and I've been working like a dog.
720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve. He is back tomorrow. He's out today. What an exciting morning here, because 10 years ago, it's crazy, and WGN Radio listeners know this. They know this by heart. 10 years ago was this exact day was the day that Spike Odell signed off this legendary morning show, one of the, if not the best morning show in the history of Chicago radio. And it's hard for me as a listener to him, and also as a broadcaster and somebody who works here and now at WGN Radio, to even wrap my head around it. It's been a decade.
And you could see videos of his final day at WGNRadio.com. Yeah. It's in three parts. They're
That's
very
what
cool
a great broadcast, yeah. And joining us on the line right now, Spike Odell, to celebrate that amazing, it's unbelievable to think it's been a decade. Spike Odell, welcome back, bud.
Hello to all my fraternal friends and family of the frequency. 10 years. Good grief. 10 years. It doesn't seem like 10 years. It really doesn't.
It's unbelievable. For you, I mean, it's fun to see the videos and to...
The best part of the videos is Mary Vandeveld's hair.
What? I gotta watch this. What does it
mean to you that it's been 10 years since you signed off?
You know what? I think about it all the, you know, every day I wake up and think, is it Saturday again? Every day. And I think about that. As I said, it doesn't seem like 10 years, but in some ways it does. But, you know, I always, and not to get all warm and fuzzy, but I think somebody's looking out for me, because I picked, for me personally, the exact perfect time to pull the plug, to go do the things I wanted to do. I mean, as I've always said, there have been days where I wish I was behind the microphone again, but those are very few and far between. I have no regrets. I do miss the people. I do miss my friends at the radio station. I do miss the listeners. But as far as a career choice and whether I did or did not do the right thing, I did the right thing. I was ready to go.
Spike, it blows my mind too, because you're still young, but you were younger. You weren't
65 right now.
You're 65.
65.
So you retired. You walked away at 55 years old. And a lot of people, you're talking to Todd Manley this morning, a lot of people wouldn't believe that you were going to do that, even though you were saying I'm out. The people were like, nah, he's bluffing. He'll be a veteran.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I kept telling. I mean, everybody who knew me there at the station, all my friends, I kept saying I'm leaving when I'm 55 years old. That was always the game plan. My wife and I wanted to do it. And I even told the bosses that. You know, I told Tom Langmeyer, our general manager at the time, that I'm leaving. And I don't think he believed me, because he kept coming to me and said, you got to tell me if you're leaving. I said, I'm leaving. He says, no, you got to write me a letter and give it to me and put it in my hand. I said, okay. So I did. But I really don't think they thought I was going to go. But that had always been my plan. But like I say, I'm a man. I'm true to my word, and I did it. So, and again, no regrets.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk quickly about your what's coming up on Christmas, and then also talk to you more about. I want to bring the listeners in as well, because it's obviously a big part of your programming, and they want to talk as well. And our first caller on the line is from East St. Louis. Is it Steve Corcoran? I think I have the name right.
Sure. Let's go with that. And thank you for taking my call. Spike, big fan. I'm not a big fan of the guy that normally does the show, and I'm wondering if he'll come back.
No, the answer is no. Cochran, where are you? How come you're off on my anniversary of 10 years? You are Christmas shopping for me, aren't you?
Don't you start with me. I'm off, and I got up at 7 a.m. so I could talk to my friend, my big brother I never asked for.
You know what? When you're out shopping today for me, I'm still in a 53 petite and I like baby blue, okay?
Tell me something I don't know.
Okay.
You know, this is true. I don't run into anybody that is nice enough to say hi who doesn't mention, hey, what's Spike up to? Is he really great kids? And I told him, I said, you're a dangerous gambler and you're actually in Vegas.
And, you know, hiding from my ex-murderer of history. So,
what people don't know and you need to tell them is you and your lovely wife live about 10 feet from your grandkids now, and you're covered in grandkids all day.
You know what? They're up there. The next street over, but the way the lots are lined up here, I can actually see the roof of their house. That's far enough away, but close enough so they can get over here. So they just run through the backyards, and they're pounding on the door at 7:30 in the morning saying, Nanny, make us pancakes! Make us pancakes!
Aw, that's so cute.
And they still call you Dude.
I'm Dude, Grand Dude. By the way, I've got some lawsuits to settle. I see Paul McCartney's got a new book out called Grand Dude. I see Lester Holt wants his kids to call him Grand Dude. These guys are ripping me off now.
Yeah. I can't believe you'd sue Paul McCartney, knowing how you feel about the Beatles.
My attorney will talk to you.
Happy anniversary. People should know that I was part of a special ops mission to try to get you to come back to at least do a weekend show. He's not kidding. He's done, but you are missed, pal. You're missed every day.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I miss the people. I miss the environment, but I did the right thing at the right time. So I appreciate all the kind words. I really do.
Well, let's let some regular folks talk to you. You know, the people that really made you famous and rich. And I love you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Go 53 petite.
The 53 petite. I'm on it.
All right, see you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas,
Spike. Hey, Spike, we've got the listeners are chiming in that they've been hanging their Spike Odell Christmas ornaments on the trees.
Oh, yeah.
I got two of them on my tree, Spike.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah, we did that for years. I don't know, maybe getting close to 10 years, we did an ornament every year. And I'm still painting. As a matter of fact, I'm finishing a painting right now while I'm talking to you. But I love to do my watercolors and my acrylics and try to get a little bit better at it. It keeps me out of the bars, keeps me busy.
So what do you do with the watercolors now? Do you sell them?
You know what? When I finish it, I go, well, there you go, take a picture of it and throw it in a drawer.
Spike, do you go to those artsy-fartsy classes where they, you know, have the you drink wine and you paint?
I've never done that. I've always thought about doing that, but I've never gone to take a lesson or anything. I just kind of picked up some paints and started dabbling, so kind of self-taught and learned the hard way. Hmm. Wally, still learning. You learn every day.
Wally's in Crown Point. Let's get Wally on the line. Wally, do you want to talk to Spike?
Yes, sir. Hey, Spike, how the heck is it going, my friend?
What's up, Wally?
Hey, I got to have you relate the story about Roger Teamstra on his way up to his place in Michigan and getting stopped by the state police. I was laughing so hard when I was listening to you on the radio. That was a killer.
Well, the cop pulled him over while I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, Roger, let me talk to the cop. I'll talk you out of a ticket. So Roger, of course, didn't want a ticket, so he gave the cop the phone, and I told the cop, I said, write that guy a ticket because he's ugly. Write that guy a ticket. Kick his taillights out and write him a ticket for that. And it just went on and on and on. And actually, Roger and the cop became friends after that. For a couple of years, the policeman would come to Roger's place and bring donuts in the morning in honor of his ticket. He did write him a ticket for like $150, so that was hilarious.
Spike, I always wonder, you know, as a longtime listener of yours and someone who now broadcasts on this radio station, you have had a tremendous ability to connect with listeners and to connect and provide entertainment where it didn't seem like it was entertainment. It seemed like you were just kind of shooting the breeze or talking to people in studio. Where do you think that comes from? Where in your life do you think that skill came from?
Well, my father. Everybody, everybody thinks I was kind of crazy. My old man was nuts. He was crazy. He was a funny guy. Everybody loved him, and he was
he was just a big, gregarious guy, and I kind of learned from the best. You know, he was my dad was the kind of guy, he'd drive down the street with his hand on the steering wheel and his elbow out the window smoking a Lucky Strike, and that little finger on the steering wheel would go up every time a car would pass. Everybody knew him. He'd just wave at him with two fingers or one finger, you know, and he was that kind of guy. I suppose I picked it up from him.
Spike, love you, man.
Who's this? Sandy Flavors?
How you doing, big guy?
Sandy Flavors. What's up, big boy?
You know, I'm thinking to myself back in the day when we would humor each other with Ron Santo stories and, you know, fake names and things of that nature. I kind of miss that. I miss that, but I love following you on Facebook, though.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Yeah. By the way, man, you are an excellent photographer. My gosh. Where did you get that skill?
I think it rubbed off from you.
Well, I'm telling you, if people haven't seen your stuff, go check your stuff out. Sandy, you are, Sandy, I keep calling Sandy.
Sandy.
Andy, you are an amazing photographer. I'm very impressed.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Andy, where can people check that out?
That'd be at andymazerphoto.com. Oh, thanks, Mary.
Mary Vanderbilt, I know you want to jump in. Spike Odell's on the line, and it's time for you to take the mic.
Spikes, how are you, Spikers? I love you, but Spikers, you know, always continues to torment me with those dang hummingbirds.
Hey, baby. I just cleaned up my hummingbird feeders other day. They're not here anymore. They're gone. They're south. But I will let you know when they come back, okay?
Oh, that's all right. I mean, don't.
Yeah, how you doing, Mayors?
I'm good with that. Just continue to paint them, but don't tell me when they're coming. But you know what? Now all the listeners do. They all, you know, Facebook, hey, Mayors, you know, the hummingbirds are out again.
Hey, Spike.
Are they still harassing you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Oh, great, great. I left a mark then, yeah.
Hey, Spike, Mary just had her second granddaughter this weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
I did.
And
thank
they
you.
Named it after her.
Yes.
Did they really? Very cool. You know what? It's the best. I mean, everybody says that, but until it happens to you, you don't realize it. It's just the coolest thing. It's the best thing in the world.
How many little dudes do you have then?
We've got five little dudes. Oh. One of them has his birthday today. He's 7 years old today.
Oh.
So we'll want to go over there and have a big shindig tonight or something for him. But yeah, they're all growing up.
And they look like you, too.
Good-looking kids.
Spike, are you one of those guys that gets down on the ground with them and, like, plays, or are you more of the stoic grandpa?
No, I'm not, because my knees don't work anymore. I get down and have to go get a bobcat to lift me up. My knees are just, they're giving out on me, but we do play baseball. Matter of fact, Michael and I, or my son, we're thinking about coaching the 10 and under Little League team next year. So that'd be kind of cool to do, to coach a baseball team with my son and his boys on the team. So that'd be cool.
You know, coaching is different these days, though. You can't yell at kids. You have to be encouraging and positive.
I remember having, when I was a kid playing a Little League, I had to go and get a shoe removed from my tail end a couple of times. So. But that's not the way it works anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Spike, that's not the way it works.
We're going to have you on Christmas Day as part of our Christmas programming. You're going to do something special for us.
I am?
Yeah, that's what Todd said, so that's good.
Really?
Spike is getting 22 minutes. They all fall into 22-minute segments on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Of nice. Our holiday stuff, and we believe Spike is doing one.
This might be news to
start
him.
Working yet.
I am.
This is like when Steve cornered Dean to do the New Year's Eve show on the radio.
On the radio.
So.
Yeah.
I guess I am.
Yeah, maybe Todd gave us that info to try and coerce you on air. So that
I'm sure that was an arm twist right there. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, Spike, it's tremendous to think that to have you on the show and to think that it's been 10 years since your last broadcast here at WGN in the mornings. Spike Odell, continue, success with the paintings, and we look forward to Christmas and hearing your voice again. So.
Hey, Spike, a lot of people are asking about your mom.
Yeah, mom is like the Energizer Bunny. You know, there's been many times where we didn't think she was going to make it through another 3 or 4 days, and she just keeps bouncing back. And she's still hanging in there. She's just she's a tough cookie. She's Alzheimer's, like everybody says, there's no instruction book that comes with that. So every day is kind of a different thing. But she's sweet, she's cute, and we go over there and make her laugh every day, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Spike Odell, of course, the legend who was in this chair for years at WGN, and it was 10 years ago today that he left the morning show and WGN Radio. Spike, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you guys very much, and to all the listeners, thank you very much for putting up with me for 22 years there. So all the best.
All the best. Thanks, man. There you go.
Love
Spike,
you, Spike
Odell. How about that?
Oh, you know, that's so cool. You know what I just noticed? I am wearing the exact same red jacket today that I wore on Spike's last show.
Are you kidding me?
This is my special Christmas jacket. I only bring it out at Christmas. I'm like, how ironic. I wore this. And
that
I,
is wow. funny. But your hair is different, Mayor, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah. You know, I've always got the different hairdos.
Always yes. a different hairdo. All right. Coming up, we will give away some Hawks tickets. How about that? We'll do some Hawks tickets right after the break here. And we will continue with Steve Cochran's show here on 720 WGN.
Your Blackhawk tickets, yeah. Hawk a riddle.
Hawks ticket
yeah,
giveaway time. On. Time for the Hawk a riddle. 312-981-7200.
This is a good one.
Seventh caller, or we do the riddle. You got to get it right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess it's seventh caller.
I think the first caller
whoever
has the right
gets
answer.
The right answer.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, you ready for
I
the
I think
riddle?
Andy might know this one.
Okay.
Okay, ready? This is the Hawker riddle for today, for the game on December 16th against the San Jose Sharks. All right, here we go. A writer whose career took a 40-year rise, whose work that he wrote won a Pulitzer Prize. His columns were daily, for three papers he'd write, but his book on the mayor made the boss quite uptight. Oh, Andy knows it. Don't give it away, Andy. 312-981-7200.
How far into that riddle did you know it, Andy?
Very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
Okay. Pair of tickets to see the... You're just saying that.
Justin doesn't believe you.
I don't believe you, but that's okay. A pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the San Jose Sharks this Sunday, December 16th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. We're giving away tickets from Four Seasons all season long, so listen to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellante's first second chance to win a pair of tickets. Given away today, this afternoon, 4:40. 312-981-7200. If you know the answer, should I give the riddle one more time?
Yes.
Do you just like the way I read it?
I do.
Can I read it more like it's like a medieval kind of time? A writer whose career took a 40-year rise, whose work that he wrote won a Pulitzer Prize. His columns were daily, for three papers he'd write, but his book on the mayor made the boss quite uptight.
Dilly dilly.
There it is.
Oh, that did sound like that. I preferred it normal, but that's okay. I like that you stretched
I gave it two. Yeah. I gave it normal, and then for the people who are really jonesing for a medieval reading, I gave that to them as well.
Man, they got Spike Odell this morning and a medieval reading from you.
Court jester, right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we got a winner on the Hawker Riddle, perhaps. Let's go to Steve, who's up on the north side. Steve.
Wait, is he going to respond in medieval? Or is he going to do it straight?
Yeah, answer a bet for us. Do you like the medieval reading or the normal reading?
I like the normal reading.
Right. See, I'm with you, Steve.
Real bummer, Steve.
Sorry.
Steve, what's the answer to the Hawker riddle?
Mike Royko.
Mike Royko!
Ding, ding, ding!
There it is. So I gave him a little medieval laugh there for you, Steve. Congrats. You're going to the game.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I look forward to reading his column every morning. So I'm old enough to remember... And to be reading his columns.
There you go. His columns were tremendous. As I say tremendous all the time, they were actually must read.
Yeah,
if you haven't read Boss, you're crazy. Read it.
Went to my high school. My grandpa and he went to high school together, and they got into a lot of trouble together. They were a little bit of hoodlums.
I'm young enough and old enough at the same time to have hung out with Mike Royko. Just so you know, right at the end of his life, I was in his... presence.
Did you
a couple of times.
Do things in medieval voice for
him? No, I did. Never got the chance to do medieval voice.
Probably a good choice.
Yeah, tolerating that.
There were a couple. If anything, he got closer to swinging at me than listening to me. That's sort of how it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean. Yeah,
honey. Time for more on entertainment. Dean Richards joins us every day. I feel I have been given honorary moron status.
You're proud of that.
I am. I put on a business card. I feel like, you know, you guys are, these, you get, you're a Walk of Famer. You know,
I don't think anyone's more proud of being a moron than you are.
You know what he did?
High praise, buddy.
Moron like yesterday. He ordered 25 pounds of buffalo chicken macaroni and cheese at our holiday lunch.
Oh, wow.
You can see the picture, Dean, at WGMRadio.com. And then he attempted to eat it all.
That is a lot of buffalo.
Yeah, she's exaggerating. Cheese. It was a lot, but she's exaggerating.
It weighed 12 pounds.
I'd do it again, Dean. And I'd do it again.
Yum.
All right.
That's what December's for.
Even though when he was in Kohl's later, he was like sweating and doubled over in pain because he had eaten so much.
I had to get a rascal from the front. Like one of those electronic carts to
help me put these pants on.
It was.
Give me one more thin mint.
It was not pretty. All right, let's get to. We only got one segment with you today.
We have very important. Our friends at Junk Chicago 911. These are the people that you hire to clean out all the junk in your house, or people put junk out in front of their. They throw stuff away. These guys collect it and resell it. But once a year, they bring stuff that would have normally gone into the garbage and bring it to us as holiday gifts.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's coming up.
Oh, that's coming up. All right, okay.
That's fun.
All right, so why don't we get right to the list. The AFI has added films to the National Film Registry. How important is it? American
Film Institute.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a national registry of pop culture in America. And it's I think it is kind of a big deal. It's sort of keeping track of important movies, important social moments in America, and the movies. Some of the movies they add 25 new ones every year, but some of them include this time Jurassic Park, Shining, My Fair Lady. I can't believe has not already been in the National Film Registry. Brokeback Mountain was added this time. Broadcast News.
Oh, that's a good one.
One of the great films of all time. Also, let's see here. Days of Wine and Roses, On the Town, Rebecca.
See, now the list starts to slide.
Yeah, these are going back now.
They had like 12 good ones.
It's amazing. The Shining wasn't in there, yeah.
And before, yeah.
Dean, what's the criteria of how they become one of those?
It's people who are in the industry, people who are, publicists, producers, actors, people who are all a member of the American Film Institute, and they vote for what should be in it. Doesn't have to be, meet a certain box office level or anything like that. But it's amazing to me though that the films like My Fair Lady and Days of Wine and Roses that are from the 60s have not just been chosen.
Right. All right, let's keep going. I love this one. Most streamed song of the 20th century. Streaming is now out. That's how everybody's listening to music. So, of course, there's going to be rankings and lists. But you have the most streamed song. Before we get to it, what do you think it is, Mary?
Thank You Next by Ariana Grande.
20th century. Interestingly, Ariana Grande is not on the 21st century list of like top five for the 21st century, right?
I will say my guess would be Billie Jean.
Interesting.
What about you, Mason?
Andy's going to go REO Speedwagon, I can tell.
Roll with the changes. REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, man. Yeah, roll with the changes. Sorry,
What is the most
720 WGN playing the hits, man? Yeah.
Four in a row, no talk next.
It is
Islands in the Stream.
Oh,
there you go.
Since we're streaming,
that is what we. That would have been such a good song on the stream.
Yeah,
that's a good karaoke jam too. Yeah,
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
Now, did that take a jump because of that movie?
A little bit, but it came out in 1975 from the group Queen. And it was very popular then. It had a resurgence when Freddie Mercury died in 1991. It had another huge resurgence, probably the biggest, when Wayne's World came out about a year or so later. And now the biopic movie called Bohemian Rhapsody
I think has a lot of a lot more people interested in the song and in Queen in general. So I think that that's why it did so well.
You know, when I was DJing in Peoria, when right around the time Wayne's World came back out, kids would call up and request Bohemian Rap City.
Oh.
They thought it was a rap city.
Wow.
I like that.
It was hilarious.
Andy Mazur laying down the hits for you.
Rap City, baby.
Well, how do we not have any air checks?
Quad City Morning Zoo, with Andy Mazur, man. Yeah,
that's the next time you're in, Andy. Yeah. We need some air checks.
Good luck with that.
Tomorrow.
Second most streamed, Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah, that
makes sense.
Third and fourth from Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine and November Rain.
Oh, those are good ones.
Not just one guitar solo in November Rain. Not just two. Three.
I was supposed to go to see Guns N' Roses in 1994, but then those people got trampled at a concert, and my dad said no.
Parents are so funny about stuff like that.
Oh, that's a bummer.
21st century stream leaders right now, Ed Sheeran, Drake, and the Chainsmokers.
Oh.
Chainsmokers.
Like that tattoo
are,
on my shoulder.
I think the
song.
Chainsmokers will level off as the 21st century goes. The other two may have longevity.
We're early. Yeah. We're very early in the 21st century.
All right, Selena series coming to Netflix.
Yeah, this is very interesting. Netflix yesterday announced that it's not going to be a Selena movie like Jennifer Lopez did over 20 years ago now, believe it or not.
Wow.
But it's going to be a scripted drama on the life of Selena. So they haven't said when that's going to come out, but it should be in a pretty interesting story. Selena's super popular. I'd forgotten that she was murdered by the president of her fan club back in 1995.
Yeah.
So
there was the movie, and there seems to be a lot of like 48 hours type shows on that story over the years. All right, 1 minute left. Doggy Movie Theater. What is that?
Okay, if going to the movie theaters is not distracting enough with people on their cell phones and screaming kids and people talking, I went to see a movie last night, and two people felt the need to explain each and every scene to each other while the movie was going on. What are they doing now? Well, it looks like they're going to fight the evil guys and talking. It's like, please. But that doesn't even come close to annoying as to what it must be like in Plano, Texas, where they have just opened the first doggy music movie theater. This is a movie theater where you can bring your dogs.
Yeah.
Every customer allowed to bring two dogs inside with them.
Sure.
They have both people and doggy snacks that they sell at the concessions. I'm sure very reasonably priced, just like they are right now. Also, a concrete floor featured in this doggy theater.
Smart.
Oh, so they can just wash it down.
So so it's easy for
And you can see a lot of lap dogs, but I'd definitely go with like a Great Dane. So it would sit in its own seat, and you have to look around past it because it's so big.
have you ever gone to what's called mommy screenings? Mm-hmm. A lot of theaters have mommy screenings. This is where they show a movie. They leave the lights on. They don't turn the lights on. And mom or parents, anyone can show up with their kids. And the kids run around and scream for the full 2 hours pretty much. And, you know, they're playing while the parents sit there, usually with a glass of wine, talk to each other, completely ignore their children. But if anybody else is there, I went to one not knowing that it was a mommy screening. And, you know, because I had to see a movie in time to review it. And I'm sitting there trying to watch the movie while the kids are running all over the place and screaming and crying.
And the moms are like, where's your kid, Dean?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't have one. And you're like, that's creepy.
What's the creepy guy doing sitting there all by himself during a kid's movie?
Hey, Dean, there's a listener that lives in Mexico. Her name is Rina Kalenka. She's a former teacher at my alma mater, Carmel High School in Mundelein. She went and saw Roma in Mexico.
Yeah.
And she said that if you've never lived in Mexico, you won't understand the movie. So I know you had, you said it's a pretty movie, but not a great story.
I think you'll understand it, but I'm sure that you'll get a lot more out of it culturally if you are a Mexican or have lived in Mexico. But yes, it's very, very, very tied to middle class Mexican life.
All right, Dean, I know you got to go.
I have to go get garbage.
Go get garbage. Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
What you described with that garbage is very similar to what you do every week with swap meet.
Yeah.
People's garbage.
Right, that's coming
we
up
try
at
to see if there's
hour.
Value.
That's right. Greg will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. So if you you have junk that you want to get rid of, but at the same time want to re-gift, maybe that's a good hook for the Christmas month here. You know, this could be these things in your attics can be gifts. You can give them away, right?
Good point.
And then you can be like Greg on WGN Radio. He said that that's worth $30.
Everyone has a grandma that gave them old stuff, like would wrap up
I love
old
it.
Stuff to yeah. get rid of it.
They put me in a booth with headphones on. There's a glass partition. My wife and the hearing technician are on the other side of the glass. The guy through the headphones says, "You're going to hear words electronically through the headphones. When you hear a word, let us know what word that is, and that's how we can check your hearing. Ready to go?" "Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's the first word." "I didn't hear anything." "We didn't start yet." "Right, here we go. Here's the first word. Ready? Chamaschutkin." "What do you want from me?" "What word was that?" "Was it Chuzamahazadmet?"
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We got a pair of tickets to see comedian Brian Regan. He's performing in New Year's Eve at Chicago Theater. They're on sale at the Chicago Theater box office or at Ticketmaster. Seventh caller right now, 312-981-7200. He's going to get the pair of tickets to see Brian at the Chicago Theater on New Year's Eve. This is if Steve's show is sold out at the Tivoli.
Right. And I don't think it's quite sold out yet. So you can go, if you just Google Steve Cochran Show New Year's Eve, the invite you... Eventbrite page come up and you can buy tickets there to go see him because that show will have you home by 10 o'clock.
Right. This one is probably closer to 11.
So,
Brian Regan tickets right now, caller number 7. Do you see the story that the report's coming out that the Oscars are considering a no host option?
Now, in radio, when somebody leaves a company, they will have, you know, if you go to somewhere else, you do a no host. They call it a no host you're invited to where you can all get drinks. And what it means by no host is the company's not covering the cocktails. You have to pay for yourself.
Right.
So in the Oscars, you have to bring your own awards with no host.
I think it's, I don't know. I frankly, I think it's a cop out on the Oscars. This idea that they pick somebody who ended up to be toxic and not ready for the Oscars and they have to withdraw. For them to make the call that they're going to go without one, as if that was the issue all along. We just, you know, it just, I don't know.
And after him, there's no other option. There's no good, like, there's no other... I think we nominated Steve Cochran, and Steve Cochran nominated Tom Skilling.
Tom Skilling would be great.
Yeah. I think they could also do a hologram.
If, you know, there you go. If Tom Skilling hosted, I would be fine with the monologue just being a deep dive on the 7-day forecast.
Yeah, like a 10-15 minute weather forecast.
No jokes about Oscars in the movies. No pointing out that Tom Hanks is in the front row. Just go deep on the jet stream. Tell me what's happening with the wind chill.
Or it could work in weather-related terms into the movie titles.
That's right.
I would like a weather musical opening number.
There you go.
Where Tom comes out like with a in a sun costume or something, kind of like the Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwich commercials.
If you don't have a host, then you're just going, now it's strictly infomercial. Now it's strictly, the movies are great. Check these movies out. And I'm
so it's just that voiceover person saying nominated for...
Don't care.
I think... Well, now we don't have any time, Justin, to talk about
Neil Patrick Harris.
No, I don't want to talk the Kathy Lee replacement.
Oh, yeah. Jenna Bush.
Yesterday, Justin looked at the TV and Jenna Bush was on the screen. He said, "Ah, go away." He's tired of the Bushes
I can't say
getting
anything in private anymore. Like this is kind of... No. My point was, you know, I'm not someone who came up with the silver spoon, and then they get to the White House and they can do whatever they want. And they decide they want to.
Yeah, they haven't worked their way up.
They haven't worked their way.
Well, she did. She studied broadcasting. And
so what? Go small market, medium market, large market.
Mary's the same. So well, now
I mean, I don't mind.
She might replace Kathy Lee.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It just seems like a van. What am I going to do next? I don't know. I'll be on the Today Show. I don't know. And she looks just like her dad.
That's the other thing that
made
you
look at it and you're like,
recoil.
Yeah, I don't know. Waiting for him to go strategery.
Is everybody forgetting what kind of president George W. Bush was?
No, I mean, nobody's forgetting.
All right, let's relax, people.
Okay, Stephanie won the tickets for Brian Regan. You can get those tickets on sale now at the Chicago Theater box office and Ticketmaster. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and Joe Brand's going to join us at the winter meetings to talk White Sox baseball. That's coming up here on WGN Radio.
Barper,
deep left center. Heading for the wall. It is gone. And the Nationals win it.
Fly ball deep left. Did Manny do it again? Man, oh, man, oh, Manny. A two-run home run.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Super Joe getting our hopes up here. Two highlights of the big free agents in baseball that are being discussed at the winter meetings.
Yep.
Talking about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Both of them seem to be on the market, and there seems to be an open fight for them, Andy? Is that the way to look? There's no front runner, is there?
Yeah, you know, everybody plays it very close to the vest, but usually you find out the top three or four teams, and then there's always a mystery team. My thought is you always want to be the mystery team.
Yeah, and it seems that's where Rick Hahn and the Chicago White Sox like to be, that mystery team. He's keeping it close to the vest, but they are players. The Cubs as well, and Bryce Harper, but they're playing kind of mystery as well. Yeah. Joe Brand is covering the winter meetings out in Vegas for WGN Radio, and he joins us on the line. Joe, how you doing?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Not much. Okay, let's talk about the White Sox. They actually did make a move last night into this morning to bring in some pitching help.
Yeah, they picked up Ivan Nova, which ultimately seems like it's a solid replacement for a guy like James Shields. He's kind of that back end of the rotation that can solidify that rotation, but also provide some veteran and experience in the clubhouse, maybe help with some of these young pitchers that are still kind of learning their way. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, which is great. I don't think he's expected to head out there and be the ace or anything, but definitely, you know, helping the White Sox rotation, at least, that aspect moving forward.
All right, besides the obvious that White Sox fans want to hear about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, I'd like to hear about what Rick Hahn is thinking about, because they're going to have to replace Michael Kopech for this year as well. So it's not just James Shields. What else is out there that maybe they're looking at?
Yeah, well, you know, he said if the rotation just stays the way it is right now, they would be okay. That doesn't mean they're not going to pursue other options starting pitching-wise. But, you know, they still want to figure out what they have with Reynaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito, hopefully a full season of a healthy Carlos Rodon. And, I mean, you never know, Andy, because Dylan Cease is on his way up. You don't know when that's going to be, but that's... And then he also talked about probably a non-roster invite that could come on its way into the majors after spring training. So I don't know how deep they're going to go into a starting rotation. Another addition for that, as of right now, he said as of right now they're okay with where they're at, but it doesn't stop them from still, you know, kicking the tires on other people.
Joe, the very interesting comments made by Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, but Kenny talking about this is the time. It's, you know, the payroll is super low for the White Sox. They don't pay anybody. And this is their time to start turning from rebuild to competitor. Do you feel that excitement, that energy, or is that just all talk?
Well, if it's all talk, they got a pretty good poker face. Everything has just been optimism and just good things coming forward when you talk to Rick Hahn or Ricky Renteria. I think the main thing that sticks from what they've been talking about over the past few days is that this message of the future is being heard to these free agents. They can't get into specifics about the meetings or interactions they've had with guys like Harper or Machado, but from what they have said, they are getting that message across. People are understanding what possibility the White Sox have in the future with all this talent on its way up. And they've said that's their main selling point. And if that's being heard, it almost seems like that aspect is not something that has to be persuaded anymore. Everything else, you know, the money, the deal, that's what's coming now. And that might be what the difference is if the White Sox land one of these guys. As far as they have said, that message is being heard.
So it's kind of in comparison, and you don't want to compare apples and oranges at this point, but with the Cubs signing of John Lester, everybody was kind of like, oh, maybe that's a year too early, maybe that's a year before they're actually ready. But it does signal things, and I think that's kind of what they're talking about, because let's be honest, there are a lot of young talented players in this White Sox system, and we've seen a few of them at the big league level already.
Yeah, and again, that's what Rick Hahn has said too. He said, okay, I think let's say Friday it was the exact 2-year anniversary after Chris Sale was dealt to Boston, and that was the unofficial official start of the rebuild. And he said, year 3 of a rebuild, you know, might be a little bit too early, but when there's an opportunity like this, you have to pounce on it. And Justin, you mentioned the money. You know, why not make this the time to be for that? Again, they've expressed how much the future is being heard, but they've also expressed how they can't just let something pass by in this type of scenario. So as far as Rick Hahn has said, he is going 100% on these guys. And I really think it's hard not to believe that they haven't gone that way, because honestly, right now everyone's checking Twitter. Everyone's seeing what the big boys are saying, and Ken Rosenthal, Bob Nightingale. And I mean, the White Sox name is being passed around a lot. I think the worst update we've seen a few hours ago, Bob Nightingale said they're meeting with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and the White Sox don't expect to be the favorite. That's like the worst we've heard so far about the White Sox being in contention for landing these guys.
It's a very interesting moment, especially for the White Sox, coming off a season where there were some positives where you saw young players contribute. There were negatives as some players didn't make it to the, and of course the fact that they lost 100 games. But you know, the AL Central is not what it used to be. The Cleveland Indians look to be looking like a fire sale. The Twins are where they're at. The Tigers are rebuild. So there is this kind of opening if the White Sox, even if it isn't Machado or Harper, can add some actual quality players to this roster to compete for this year.
Yeah, and I mean, well, that's the one thing about the White Sox is, I mean, there's so many holes. So anyone you pick up is going to help out this team. I mean, Michael Brantley's still out there. If the White Sox do just want to go after somebody for the outfield, their infield is pretty much set up unless you go out and get a guy like Manny Machado and, you know, solidify that third base position. But you're right about this whole division of the American League Central going downhill. I mean, the Indians continue to seem like they're just going to break off piece after piece to clear up some space on their payroll. So it again goes back to Rick Hahn's idea of, why not go for it at this time when all the opportunities seem to be in the White Sox favor right now? He didn't really get into the aspect of the division seeming a little lackluster, so that's why we're going to go for it right now. It seems like just a matter of the free agents that are available. That's the main reasoning to go 100% all in. But obviously, that's something you got to look at, because we've seen teams that could have taken advantage of bad divisions and gone into the playoffs, and you never know what happens.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the idea of baseball right now. Get to the big dance and see what it is moving forward.
Yeah, that's a happy coincidence, too, right there for the White Sox. Let's switch sides of town. Let's go to the north side real quick, because it seems like there's some mixed messages being sent from Cubs camp to Cubs fans about what kind of money they actually have to spend. Are they in on some of these free agents? What's the latest for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much been that. I think everyone knows where the Cubs are handcuffed in terms of contracts on their roster with guys like Jason Hayward. Since last Thursday, when Theo spoke before the winter meetings had started, it doesn't really look likely that, I mean, the Cubs have to get very, very creative in order for something like that to happen. They have to move guys. They probably have to attach somebody from the core, like a Kyle Schwarber, like an Albert Elmora, Ian Happ, you know, pick a name along with one of those contracts in order to move some money. And only then can you really throw your hat in the ring for one of those guys. So it'd be very complicated for the Cubs to try and, you know, go as hard as some of these other teams are right now. And I feel like that's why you're not seeing their name thrown around a lot from all these reports over the past few days. But again, you really can never put yourself out if you're Theo Epstein, because right, he is very capable of being very persuasive and being very creative. So there's nothing you could do for the Cubs to sit back and wait, but I would honestly say not to get the hopes up.
We saw last year some high-end free agents. Yu Darvish comes to mind. Jake Arrieta is another, where there was a waiting game from some of these teams. They waited all the way as spring training was beginning in February. Are we going to see that with Machado and Harper, or do you think by the time in the next day in the winter meetings, we're going to know where these guys are going to land?
You know, I hope not. Boy, that was a boring offseason last year. In terms of the big names, I would honestly think that the way it's gone traditionally is the best player signs, and then that kind of sets the standard, and everyone works underneath that, and that's where all the money gets played out and leveled out. But Ken Rosenthal recently came out with an article how Scott Boras is obviously Bryce Harper's agent, and he's a pretty good rival with Manny Machado's agent, so you might see them two kind of hashing it out and delaying things just to see who gets the bigger paycheck. But I mean, the other thing is we're in Las Vegas. It's where Bryce Harper's from. So, again, it goes to the whole crazy timing of this whole thing. I hope not. Speaking with some of the general managers, they said that it seems like this year talks are more productive, more stable than they were last season. But, I mean, you just look at the results. Andrew McCutchen is pretty much the only free agent that's really been signed over these meetings. And we're in day three now, and it's still nothing but rumors. So I hope not. Again, general managers are talking that talks are more productive and more stable, but proof is in the pudding. We've got one free agent, basically.
Yeah, great work. Joe Brand is covering the winter meetings in Vegas for WGN Radio. Joe, good. It's going to be a fun couple days, so we look forward to checking in again. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Go. That's it. I love it. I hope it comes out today. It'd be great if Chicago, either team, were involved in the sweepstakes for these monster players. Just for the idea that those players would come play in Chicago. It'd be awesome, right?
Well, that's the thing. Because you get so many opportunities here in this city for marketing, for advertising, and obviously some rabid fan bases that you can be a part of.
And, you have Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, mm-hmm. of course. Not to mention the Bears right now with Khalil Mack. You can see how big athletes get bigger by playing in this town.
You can guarantee them police escorts wherever they want to go.
Wherever they want to practice or wherever they want to go.
That's right. All right, Greg
Clem is kick field goals.
He's waiting in the PPG Paints green room. He'll be on with us after the 9 o'clock news.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN, friend Cheryl Ray Stout, a longtime sports reporter in town. She says she's got funny stories about Karkovice.
Karkovice.
We're talking about the greatest name. Karkovice was on with John Williams, or reference in John. I didn't hear it.
Is he in Mexico right now with John Williams? Andy,
I don't really know who's down. I know Ron Jim Kittle Anderson's is down there.
Yes. In our post-show meeting,
it came up.
Somebody said his name, and Justin's voice went up like a few octaves, and he's like, "Are you kidding me? He's with John Williams."
Somebody's hanging out with Ron Karkovice right now.
I mean, he's no Floyd Bannister, but you know.
And then that's the thing. Justin just starts rattling off the 80s team members and gets all excited.
He's no Rudy Law or Juice Cruz.
He spent most of the summer pitching to Steve Cochran that we should do bits based around 80s Sox baseball players.
Okay.
Let's put in a request for this and say their name.
You know, I think there should have been a poster. You know, and you did the Junkyard Dogs and stuff. Mm-hmm. They should have done a poster for Rudy and Vince Law.
Yeah.
Vance Law. Above the law.
Ooh,
or like they were dressed like attorneys and they had suits on with the briefcases.
Or breaking the law.
Yeah. I don't know why they missed it. I don't know what the White Sox were doing in 83.
That's okay. They were winning ugly back then.
They were winning ugly.
Yeah. With Greg Luzinski, the bull. hit him out of Comiskey Park. Him and Ron Kittle.
Right.
And Andy, I know you've been covering sports a long time. Mm-hmm. When we were in break prior to talking to Joe Brand about the whatever's going on in Vegas, he said that because he has such deep knowledge of fantasy baseball, he knows real baseball.
Yes. I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I am I was back-to-back. I won back-to-back fantasy championships, and I went to the championship last year. I know a lot about current players. That's why I said, when you did the report that Ivan Nova's coming to Chicago, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, that's a waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, you were thinking, late round draft choice.
Yeah, guy's on the board. You pick him up with a waiver wire on a Sunday.
Yeah, I will say this:
spot start. He's not a guy that I'm picking in the sixth round.
As a fantasy guru in baseball, you do have a chance of being a real GM in the majors.
Thank
because
you.
The Mets hired an agent as their GM.
That would be a great.
Maybe he was a fantasy champ.
I would be great. Just the motivation alone. A lot of
the passion. You really have a lot of passion.
I'm very big on the emotional benching. You know, if somebody does something wrong on the field, 0-for-4 when I needed it, I'm like, you're out the next game. You're out. A new guy's in.
Yeah, Jerry Dubczynski would not like playing for you.
They would not. All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand, Steve Grzanich. Bertrand's next hour. Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN and CLTV. Also find us on WGNradio.com and the app. Justin Kaufman. Steve is back tomorrow. He's taking, we realized yesterday, we talked about this earlier in the holiday party, that Steve was like, I got a lot of time.
You people, I'm sorry, drive me crazy. I've been asking since the beginning of November, knowing I have a rough estimate, and I know everyone's got a lot of time left, and our time does not roll over into 2019.
Right. So use it or lose it.
Exactly. And I have said, hey, can we start, you know, planning? Because I just like to, I don't like my last few days being a crunch trying to accommodate all these people that can't make a decision.
Yeah.
Justin's throwing extra days off. Steve's like, maybe I'll take those days off.
I'm following the lead of our fearless leader.
I know. And
if he's sitting there going, yeah, maybe I'll think about it, then I'm like, whatever Steve does, man, I'm in.
I know. You were just, I know that you were riding his coattails, so I couldn't get as mad at you because I was as mad at Steve. And then it got brought up at our lunch where there's photos at WGNRadio.com of your buffalo mac and cheese that almost killed you.
It almost killed me.
And it brought up in our lunch, and our boss Stephanie was like, what? And I said, see, this is affecting everybody's schedule. So anyway, Steve ended up taking today off because he has to fit them in. And so there, he's taking today.
He must be writing Christmas cards because he's asking for addresses.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
So he's working. He's working from home.
Yeah. And then we also learned today that Mary is wearing the exact same jacket she wore 10 years ago on December
12th. Looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It does.
I took out the shoulder pads, though. He used to have shoulder pads.
When you first said that, I was like, so is this a jacket that's in heavy rotation and it was just luck?
No.
It's a Christmas jacket.
It's my Christmas jacket. I only wear it during Christmas.
I thought it was just luck.
I don't know why. I just wore one to wear it today.
It's like
now I know why.
Yeah. It's red.
Yeah. It still looks okay, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of.
I would totally be a guy, though, to be like, I was wearing those same jeans. Like, I just had them for 10 years.
Well, I feel weird about it now. Now I'm going,
mortified.
God, I've had the same thing for 10 years?
And the reason why we know is because the video of Spike Odell's final day is on WGNRadio.com. You can go look at it. It's in three parts. And there's Mayor with different hair, but the same jacket.
Well, at least I changed my hair.
All right. Greg Flam's here at DuPage Picker, both on
Speaking
Facebook,
of old stuff.
Twitter, and Instagram. Good to see you, Greg.
Good to be here. Hi, everyone.
Hi. All right. So you have already made my day because you bring in valuables. This is a segment we do every week on Wednesday where we will evaluate your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk.
Of course.
And you brought in one of my favorite items because I go crazy for the 80s. Baseball, football, basketball references, and of course the posters. And the posters for the 85 Bears are
classics. I
mean, awesome.
It's hard for I'm at the flea market. And it's hard for people to walk by without talking about it, you know, or wanting to buy it. So I brought in since we're parting like it's 1985. I brought in my fridge poster.
Look at all the scars on his arms.
Yeah, and this was the
the
original photo, and then they used it for a Pontiac commercial. So I have the Pontiac commercial poster. So that's kind of cool.
And it says get 720 cash back. Yeah. So is that 720?
And
WGN?
It is. But they don't have the logo. But I think back then the games were on 720, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's funny they use the 720, but they don't put the GN logo on there. Someone in marketing messed
dropped
that poster up.
They did.
Pontiac's getting our 720 references.
I think that was the first year that the Bears were back on WGN. Was the Super Bowl year in 85?
Okay. Wow.
His little neck pad is all chewed up too. Do you see that?
Yeah.
You really
like you never see bad equipment anymore.
Everything's
the fridge.
Custom,
he's a defensive tackle. He scores touchdowns from the one. Of course, he's going to have damaged equipment.
Isn't that Sol? Is he number 72?
No, he was 79.
Oh, 79. Yeah. It looked like a defense.
Charles
player.
Leno Jr. is number 72.
Yes, he is.
All right, so you got that. You also brought in Pez.
Yeah, I thought 2.5 years we should discuss
Pez. We've been doing this segment for 2.5 years, and Pez has never come up.
Right, so we've had a lot to talk about. But the main thing.
Is there candy in there?
No, sorry. So the main thing with Pez is you want to find the dispensers that have no feet, what they call no feet. So you'll see at the bottom, there's not that extended piece of plastic.
Right.
And I didn't bring one in because I don't even buy them. I just walk away. They're worth nothing, really, for the most part. There are exceptions, of course. But I have sold myself a Creature from the Black Lagoon feetless Pez for $156.
Wow.
And I probably got it for like a quarter at a garage sale. So
this is one of those things that it translates in that it's still safe for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, a lot of the old stuff, like your kids could kill themselves now with.
Right.
But they could get their little fingers stuck in there.
Well, yeah, but they still make Pez. This isn't all that different than a current Pez,
current
other
one,
than
the
feet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When
and
did
now
they add
make,
the feet?
I couldn't tell. I would think 70s, mid-70s.
We got a Tweety Bird, right?
Yeah. And,
I love the Tweety.
Now they make
Justin.
Them the larger.
Justin!
Don't break that off. Oh, Greg, $120, $130.
Right. But now they make the large ones that dispense the whole packet of Pez, not just one tablet. And all the baseball teams, football teams have them. So that's kind of neat. If you go online and just search that. But like I said, if you're just going to your garage now to find it and
they
you're
have
all
NFL
excited,
Pez?
Yeah, they have the dispensers with the helmet on it.
Shut
you
up.
Pull back the whole helmet, right. and it dispenses a whole pack of Pez, not just a tamper charge.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I had a White Sox one for a while. Yeah.
Andy, have you seen the NFL Pez?
I have. Mm-hmm. I have seen those.
Yeah, they're cool. They're nice desk accessories.
Well, before we go to the break,
you can buy them on Amazon.
You can.
Oh, sorry, Justin.
Unbelievable. I get so much. One time said I didn't like that the Amazon, this is for Andy, and the listeners, that the Amazon was doing, they're having a big sale, and it was like the number two story in the news. And I'm like, it's a sale. We don't do a big story in the news when Kmart has a sale. It's an Amazon sale. Who cares? Yep. And now she's conflated that to say I don't like Amazon.
What's Kmart?
What's Kmart?
What's that?
Right, exactly.
Blue lights.
It's like Venture.
Right. Let's go to Greg. Greg's in Wilmington. Greg, what do you have?
Well, I have a football. I had a friend of mine who worked for a trucking company, and the Wilson made all the inflatables in Ada, Ohio, and he had a connection there and was going to get me an official Super Bowl 20 NFL football.
Ooh, an 85.
And they ran out, and then supposedly they made 400 of the official balls with the score on it.
Right.
And I have one of those, and I'm wondering what it's worth.
Okay, is it like two-tone, like white with the brown, or is it all one color?
No, it's two-tone, the regular football color with black lettering.
Okay. It's hard to tell. I'm trying to find you a price right now, but if it's an official ball, obviously that could be, you know, hundreds of dollars. I've seen the two-tone, and those were usually used for, like, conventions or for signing, and it all depends whose signature's on it, but the ball itself is probably like $30. So if you want to shoot a picture of that to my Facebook page, DuPage Picker, I'd love to evaluate that.
All right. Thanks, Greg. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you got some stuff you want to brag about. Now's the time to call. We've also got some texts coming in as well, including, which I was very excited to see that there's an Adlai Stevenson drawing. This is great.
Adlai, isn't it?
Adlai Stevenson? Adlai Stevenson.
No.
Stevenson.
Adlai.
Adlai?
No.
That's his sister, Adlai.
Adlai.
By Mike Royko. It was a pen drawing by Mike Royko, so we'll see what that's worth. That's on text coming up. 312-981-7200. We'll continue with the swap meet and Greg Flam. It's swap meet, 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show. Steve's back tomorrow. Greg Flam is here at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. Let's go to Donna. Donna, what do you want to brag about, Donna?
Well, we have a horse from the Riverview.
The carnival, yeah. The
carnival,
the park,
yes.
Yeah. You have a horse, like from one of the carousels?
Yes, it was an original. It's made of iron or whatever.
Where is it at right now?
Pardon me?
Where is it at? Just like a bunch of stuff on in the garage?
I have it in our basement.
Wow.
Wow!
Yeah, that's great. I can't even put a dollar amount on that. I'm thinking it could be $700, $1,000 to start.
People love that stuff.
Yeah, they do. And they love any of the little prizes even that were in like the gallery or the arcade area because they're more rare than, say, you know, a lot of people have the ticket stub with the picture, you know, in their basement.
Yeah.
But those
We have the original horse, and I think my sister-in-law has another one.
Wow. Where'd you get them? You just got them like when it was all closing down?
Yes, my husband's brother was a collector.
Nice.
And he bought them from the Riverview when they closed down.
There you go. Thanks, Donna. Great. That's great. That's a good one. All right. There you go. Because, Greg, in the 2.5 years of doing this, we usually get posters or, like you said, some of the carnival games.
Yeah.
But an actual horse from the carousel?
Yeah,
I wonder if it's still got the...
The pole.
Big pole, the rod in the middle of
it. How else would it stand up?
I just love that it's in the basement.
Yeah, and they got two of them. It's like, what?
Bunch of laundry drying on top of it.
Right.
All right, let's go to Beth. Beth's in Racine. Beth, what do you want to brag about, Beth?
Hi.
Hi. Yes, it's not in my possession. My son has it now, but it is a card of Michael Jordan, a baseball card when he was playing baseball.
The Birmingham Barons.
Yeah.
The who?
Well, that's what I mean. That's where he played.
Birmingham Barons.
Birmingham Barons.
Terry Francona was his manager.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that doesn't sound familiar.
Well, that's where he played minor league. You probably had a White Sox card.
Justin's going deep on you here. Yeah.
He only played for the White Sox for a minute. Wasn't just a
right. So aren't they worth $1 million?
Aren't they worth $1 million? Maybe a little less than $1 million, but let's find out.
Definitely not the baseball card. That one's not worth that much. But I guess it's probably around the. I want to say 25 to 40, just unsigned, you know. Wow. But, like, the rookie basketball is much more desired than his
baseball stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to have kept the baseball stuff because it was such an anomaly, right? It was such a big thing, and you're like, I'm keeping this because Jordan's fish out of water here.
And you know what happens when someone gets that big? They make so much of it.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry's in Highland Lake. Jerry, what do you want to brag about?
I have got the opportunity to purchase an old Pepsi machine. It's a chest type where you open the door on the top of it and the bottle slides through a track.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's great. Where'd you get it? You said you had it to build.
I don't have it yet. I've got the opportunity to purchase it.
Oh, really? So you're looking for a little advice on the investment opportunity.
Right.
Yes, I am.
This has turned into an investment opportunity show, right?
Right.
I got a deal for the first five callers. No, that's if you can buy it, that's great. I'm trying to get you a price as well, and it looks like they're in the $900 range. So, if you want some more information, again, write me through Facebook.
All right, let's keep going. I want to get these done before. All right, Gary's got a political one. I love the political stuff, Gary. Mm-hmm. What do you want to brag about, Gary?
Okay, I've got two different things. I've got a political button from McGovern Eagleton.
Okay.
And I also have Bozo Circus, a complete set of the original buttons.
Oh, okay. So do you collect buttons, or how do you come across these?
I just picked them up here as we went along, and I don't know where that McGovern Eagleton came, but he's the one that McGovern couldn't keep as a running mate, and I didn't know if it was worth anything because of that. I also have a baseball. My brother-in-law has a baseball. And it was given to my mother-in-law from Babe Ruth, and it's signed by Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And what's his name?
That's amazing.
Lou Gehrig. It's got Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth both signed on it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, thanks.
Well, there's a number of things, Gary. There. The Bozo buttons, they're starting at about $40 for the set, so that's that. The ball, it just had the two signatures, which is probably better than a whole team, as we've discussed before. And what was the first item?
The first item was McGovern button. With Eagleton, who was the running mate who dropped out when McGovern ran for president.
Yeah, I couldn't put a value on that.
Wasn't McGovern, wouldn't it be 68 that McGovern ran for president?
It sounds right.
He lost to, or I can't remember who he lost. It would have been Lyndon Johnson. I don't want to get into it. People are going to get mad at me. I should know this, too. But anyway, 312-981-7200. Actually, we got a roll. Let's do one more. Let's do, Aaron. Aaron's in Evanston. Aaron, you wrapping up swap meet today. What do you want to brag about?
I've got a 1976 Roe AMI jukebox that was given to me by a customer of mine, and it's full of 45s.
So it's just is it a full-size, like, bar jukebox?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are they good 45s, or are the ones where you're like, man, there's nothing to play on this thing?
there's some pretty good stuff in there. Some Fleetwood Mac.
Andy Mazur shaking
Tom
his
Jones,
head in approval
like
here. Where do you have it in your house?
It's actually at my mom's house right now.
There you go. Yeah. Keep it at the mom's.
Does mom use it? Or is
she
it,
needs
is
to hear Tom Jones. Yeah.
Right. And does it still work is the question.
It works. It powers on, but there's issues actually picking up the 45s and then dropping them.
Oh, okay.
So it's part of the arm. But I've contacted a couple different jukebox repair people, and it's an easy thing to fix. I just haven't gotten around to doing it. I think that's probably why I got it for free.
Yeah, I was going to recommend Rick Pearson had a jukebox guy on from Lyle. So look up repair in Lyle, and you'll probably find that guy. Jukeboxes can be thousands of dollars. It's all condition is what it is, if it's playing, you know, right and everything. So
there you go. All right, there you go. Swap meet. And we didn't get to the Adley Stevenson
sign
Royko,
or the Royko pen.
What is that worth anything? It has a weird item.
It's so odd that you can't find it.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's hard on top of it, so it could be many thousands or 100.
Take that to Sotheby's, see what happens.
Right?
You can find Greg Flamm at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram, now.
Yep.
And where can we find you this weekend?
I'm always at Wolf's Flea Market on Palatine Road, or I'm sorry, on Rand Road in Palatine every Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 4 p.m.
There you go. Thanks, Greg. See you next week.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we will continue. Ro Khan's going to join us right after the news, so stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Jamming the hits here, 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show till 10 o'clock. Ro Khan on this afternoon from the United Center. Always a great broadcast when you're on the road. Congratulations, Ro, on the awesome.
Very optimistic of you, I would just like to say.
It's always, you guys put on a good show when you're on the road.
Thank you.
Otherwise, when you're in studio, I'm, it's just the same old
Like the first Roel sounded excellent.
It sounded great, man.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I have no idea. I just hope it sounded like fun because there was no content. And I had made the very strategic decision that I was not going to look at my phone or pay any attention to the news for those 4 hours, because all we wanted to do was have fun and not get caught up in the whole, here comes another Mueller memo, drop, and then have to deal with that. And sort of like, because when people are drunk and in a really giving mood and, 1,600 toys were dropped off that day, I mean, all that stuff. The last thing I wanted to do is go, well, I did just notice that Michael Cohen does in his sentencing
memo. That would have been such a buzzkill. I was listening to that, and it was so refreshing just to hear revelry and fun. And then, Judy talking kind of a little at the end there.
Well, I loved, Ro, the end when Jim and the Ides of March were doing the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you guys had everybody in the bar do the trumpet sound. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. And everyone did it. I thought that was a golden moment in radio.
Oh, man. It was a ton of fun. Actually, watching that Tom Skilling twerk was really quite a thing. We didn't take any video out there or much of it. We did have, we have our guy who shoots everything for us. And
You have your own guy?
No, our station guy.
Mike Poe.
Mike Poe, right, who was out there. And I, quite honestly, I think it was one of those things where as he was moving through the crowd, I think he got pantsed, and then they took his camera away from him and everything. And so it's like, I don't know. It was a very fun and audacious moment for the audience, I think.
I have an idea for you, Ro. So, it had been a couple of years since you had done this event. You used to do it in the past, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you are a toy magnet, obviously. People want to come see you and they want to give. You know how they do Christmas and July sales? There should be a Roel in July.
Yeah.
So it's a twice a year giving event. Right.
On a boat in Lake Michigan.
We used to do those, not for toys, but just for getting out and having fun, 4 times a year. And,
four is a bit much if you ask me.
I mean, there was, and as it turned out, it was. But I think you're right.
In July, it gives you a good theme there, yeah?
Well, it's funny. I don't know if you've been in the meetings of the Steve Cochran Show.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, there might be a very interesting plan for something this summer where it's a crossover. It's, when Chicago Med and Chicago PD get together,
right?
Or Chicago Fire and Chicago PD get together.
So this is going to be like Chicago Radio.
What's the play? What can we mash Roe and Cochran together?
That's
can't what say it on the air. Yeah.
Cockroll.
Yeah, or you can. Yeah, sure.
You just did. Somehow I knew she was going there.
Let's do this. I want to keep us on time, and I want to talk to you about what's in the news and talk about the United Center broadcast, which is coming up this afternoon.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show, Ro Khan with us. You're going to be at the United Center this afternoon.
Indeed, yeah.
I went the last time you had the broadcast, I went to the game, and I had my buddy with me. And I was like, hey, you want to go see live radio? Maybe I'll go, and they'll give me a free slider or something like that. It's from the food that you guys get. And I don't know where you guys were. Like, I had a hard time, and then I saw Pat Boyle doing the show down in
I know that guy.
Yeah, and then by the time I figured it out, it was already over. Your show was over. So
that
anyway.
Is the biggest loser story I've ever heard in my life.
And wait, I can pile on, Ro. He also then sat in the wrong seats for the first period. His buddy, he sat in worse seats than he actually had.
It was
embarrassing. Because he had too many beers, I think, was the...
Yeah, I could have fired you bad. Actually, that show that we did... on a month ago now already. Yeah, right. That was at Queenie's. That was at the new restaurant that's sort of in the inside outside restaurant there. That's partially in the concourse, in the atrium, and then partially in the concourse. It's like a really it's a little tricky to find, but once you find it, you'll never want to leave it.
Yeah. So apologies.
That's okay. Look at Mary. I'm just trying to make him feel bad.
I know you
then,
are.
Then. Today we are going to be back at our normal place at Goose Island in the concourse.
Okay, got it.
So it's all you have to do is do what all people go to every Hawks game do is you walk around the concourse, you look for your friends.
Right.
You just go, you do a circle, whether it's 100 level or you know the 200 or the 300, whatever, wherever you are, you do that constant walk.
I was up on the 300 level for that game, and I was amazed. I had like a Matrix moment. Because you go maybe like a block, really, if you think about it, and there's another bar, and the bar is the exact same as the bar that was just the, and you feel like you're like in a glitch in the Matrix where you're like, I think I possibly may be living in some sort of simulation. The bars look exactly the same as you're going along. So I did stop at each one.
I referenced the beer. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I want to know, did he drop gummies like an hour ago?
No, but I will tell you, yesterday at our Cochran Show holiday lunch that you can see pictures at WGNRadio.com, he ate 12 pounds of macaroni and cheese with buffalo chicken on it. Ooh. And so I think he's got a food coma hangover thing going on today.
People know what I mean. They know what I mean.
And when he says to his buddy, hey, you want to see live radio? I can't find the live radio. Here's a TV set, and let's just go get it. I mean, like, where's that go
that's
from
exactly,
there?
That's what happened. I'm like, well, they're here somewhere, but I don't really want to bother them, so let's just
But this is TV. This is much more interesting because there's lights
and cameras.
And Pat Boyle's good looking.
So you're at the United Center at the Goose Island
Pub, right.
Down there. Okay, today. Obviously, Michael Cohen's sentencing will be a big topic today. The Donald Trump tweet, the president tweeted out about the terror attack in Strasbourg, France, which I have been to that town, and then essentially turning around and saying Chuck and Nancy must give us the votes for additional border security. We say this all the time about the danger of politicizing tragedy. Are we in that ballpark with this tweet?
Oh, the danger of fill in the blank. I mean, no matter what norm we thought we once had, it's over. And my question is, in the post-Trump world of America, whether that's in 2021 or if it's in 2025, whatever it happens to be, will there be a return to some of these norms, or will they have been so stripped away in terms of nexusing a terror attack with a budget line item? I mean, there's always sort of been a little bit of that play, but it's never been as obvious as it is now. And it was inappropriate when it was just a feint, and now that it's like a demand, it doesn't make any sense because you are trafficking in whipping people up and whipping people's fears up, and that is and a fearful populace is a dangerous populace to itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday we talked about this earlier in the show, the meeting at the Oval Office with Chuck and Nancy.
Oh boy, that was something.
Every newspaper, every story that came out said clash, argument, shouting match. Not necessarily. It just seemed like more of the Trump bluster that we're used to now.
Well, the three of them, honest to God, it was a preview. We mentioned this on the show yesterday. It was like a preview of Christmas dinner. It's like whatever the top line generation is at your Christmas dinner, when they get together and some of them don't like each other, they might be in-laws, or like it's an uncle and an aunt that didn't get along for years and years and years and they got to be together. It's the same thing. They're just yelling at each other, yelling sort of loudly. They're not really landing any punches. That's how they talk because they can barely hear. And they're like, well, no, you did. No, Myrtle. Remember Myrtle? You almost killed Myrtle. You know, it's like that. And there was a moment. And then I loved Mike Pence's Elf on the Shelf impression.
I know,
was awesome because he's just sitting there And he's got the same expression I generally have at the, you know, at Christmas dinner. Like, I'm just going to keep quiet and see if I can get out of this thing.
Though some of the pictures where his eyes are closed, where he's just like, take me anywhere but here. It's so fantastic.
It really is. It's Saturday Night Live material, because the way that Trump will turn to him, like, almost like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Two Pence, and Pence doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't open his eyes. You're like, what's happening? What an Abbott and Costello routine that's happening here.
It was a little bit of a powder puff game for the cameras yesterday. And it was fine. I get it. I know what they're doing. Eventually, they're going to cut a deal. I think he's going to cut a deal. You know, the other story out of Washington today is really out of Beijing, which is that the Chinese government has agreed to some concessions here. So, and that's helping the markets. I know that's Orient territory.
I wonder, because last week when, I think it was just last week that everyone was up in arms about a deal, and now it's not a deal, and the market fell for a tweet. Are we going to get some mea culpa from that? Are we going to get, the president deserves accolades for getting this deal done. It just took a week longer, and everyone jumped on the president like he had failed. And here it is, concessions are happening.
Right. But the problem is he's moving the markets on a tweet. He shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Because eventually, because he's still in the markets, he didn't put everything in a blind trust. Eventually, people are going to start looking at that. And they're going to go, well, if he can move it, did he move it intentionally? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about, he just loves to court. Everybody has somebody like this in their life that just loves to live on the edge.
Yeah.
They always love to live on the edge. One of those guys who wants to do it.
Living on the edge. I'm surprised he's not
he's
playing
on the
that song.
Mary, yeah. He's on the gummies.
I know.
Come on.
He's something's going on.
Rokon this afternoon at the United Center.
You know what it is, Ro? It's because he's wearing new jeans.
Yeah, I guess
that's what it is. He bought new jeans yesterday.
Kohl's.
Oh, they kind of sometimes those they kind of bite you, right? Wait, the new jeans, because
they're feeling snug. I feel good.
And he didn't even try them on.
Confidence. A lot of radio confidence this morning. Ro, have a great show, bud.
Thanks, bye.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill and Wendy are here. You guys excited about this play on Friday?
Yes. What are nerd pathways?
Don't, you know what? Just
I saw you light alone. More about face that. Light up when I did that, right?
What are those?
At least laugh off the air like I did.
I'll be listening from 10 to 12 for every read that you do, buddy. I'll be jumping in.
I guarantee you, I will make way more mistakes than that.
My favorite is when you go, I'm Radio's Bill Left.
Yeah, it says it on my sheet that I'm supposed to say that to remind
you. I had an Anchorman moment earlier where I had flipped the script here, and there was one of these coming up, the stories that matter. But it said Steve Bertrand on the script, and it was still Steve Grzanich. And I read Steve Bertrand like Ron Burgundy.
You know, Grzanich.
Whatever you put in front of me.
And Grzanich loves when you do that, by
the way.
Yeah,
does he?
Yeah.
That's all right. Grzanich called you Steve a couple times this morning. Too, so
it's always good.
It happens.
What do you guys got coming
we
up?
We are excited about this show for Friday.
I'm psyched.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You sound like you might be losing your voice.
I am. I, you know.
Puberty?
That's only a minor issue in radio.
Right. No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
So you're excited? I would like to let you know that Steve Cochran will not be at the table.
At the read-through today. We didn't expect
him. But he's a pro.
He's a pro.
He doesn't need practice.
Yeah.
It as his agent
him.
And his co-host, he's a pro. He'll get it done. Don't even worry about it. He'll be here.
He might be
coming off a bender.
Right.
You know, because he's got a couple days off. But
right.
He'll be here. He'll be ready to go.
Yeah. We're not worried at all.
Okay, good.
I'm a little worried.
Don't be worried.
It'll be fine. We have a backup if he's not able to show. You know the coach that calls into a show all the time? He'll fill
perfect.
In for him if he's not able to
What do you guys got on the show today?
I think it's because of us that the Bears are winning, because Sarah Tui bakes treats for the Bears. She is their treat baker, right?
And she never did it in the past, and the Bears had not been good, and then they hired her to make cakes and brownies, and now they're winning.
Do you agree or disagree with a police escort for the kicker to practice at Soldier Field?
You have to. You have to.
You don't. I drop them off at the kiss and ride and say, you gotta get in. But
if they're 4-9,
I don't like it.
No police
I don't like
escort.
It.
Exactly.
You're 9-4. Yeah. You take a police escort.
This season, yes. Absolutely.
We got to get a helicopter. It's so much
easier.
It just
feels like something like the Packers would do, where the whole town gets together and carries a guy to the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, we're all together. You get paid a lot of money to kick the ball.
Right.
Helicopter it in.
Yeah,
or do what you have to do.
It's worth it. Yeah. Protect your investment.
Right.
I'm with you.
All right. Have a great show, guys.
Thank you.